What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable, crazy entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. Sahil here, back again with an awesome, insane guest this time. Now, this guest is number one best-selling author, certified internet marketer, ClickFunnels 2CC and Dream Car winner, and funnel design guru. She has taught thousands her philosophy of design hacking through her program, CF Design School, and has helped students design aesthetically extraordinary funnels that are visually engineered to convert, all without coding, Photoshop, or any graphic design skills. Now, she's no stranger to the speaking world. She has spoken at FHL not just once, twice, and three times. She has already spoken at that and shared some stages with some amazing people out there like Russell Brunson and Tony Robbins. What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm going to be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're going to dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple six, seven, and eight figures. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show. Without any further ado, let's welcome Katherine Jones to our show today.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here, Samir.
It's a pleasure and honor to have you after FHL. So many things, and I'm so glad that we met together.
I know, honestly, same. I was able to meet you, Sahil, and at Funnel Hacking Live, and as I was getting on today, I was looking at my schedule and I was like, yes, I get to hang out with Sahil today. I was like literally so pumped. So for anyone just listening, he's as cool as he is on the podcast as he is in real life. So I can verify that.
I appreciate that. Before we dive into anything, I want to personally congratulate you for another round of FHL as a speaker. That is itself is an achievement. How was the feeling this time?
You know what? I'm so grateful. So yeah, so this was the third time that I've spoken at Funnel Hacking Live. And it honestly, I was just talking with my sister-in-law, McCall, because this was her second time speaking at Funnel Hacking Live. And this third time specifically was very different. I think first time you're kind of worried a little bit about, that was the biggest stage I'd spoken on at that point, you know? So you're speaking in front of 5,000 people and you're like, how's the mic going to work? How are my slides going to work? And like, when you speak in front of Hacking Live, you sign this like very intense contract, right? That's basically like, you will speak for your allotted time and you will not disrespect Russell Brunson or his team by going over the allotted time. And you're like, you're right, Russell, I won't disrespect you. You know, you just like are signing it. So there's all this stress of time and lights and am I going to trip in my heels and like all these different, you know, like stupid little logistics things. And I was so grateful because I've spoken in front of Lincoln Live, I've spoken on other big stages since then. And so kind of those logistics I've had some reps with, right? Where you're like, okay, like, I have an idea of what this looks like. I have a concept of it's going to take about like 10 to 20 seconds before my timer actually starts, right? Like even just knowing those logistics, like the timer starts when the walkout music ends and things like that. So I think because I have those logistics, it was so awesome as I was writing and preparing the speech. It genuinely, the sole concern was will people, I got asked to come speak on joint ventures and partnerships. Mm-hmm. And so the sole concern or anything I was nervous about, you might say, was to fulfill the request of Russell Brunson, which was by the end of your 25 minute slot, I need people to understand how to book partnerships. And so everything else, you know, that is these looming, they seem small, but sometimes they can add up, right? These little things, they just went away. And so it was so fun. I just got to focus on that. And it just honestly made the experience so much more fun right before I went on. That being said, though, again, like right before you get on, you're like a little bit nervous. Also, you're like, holy crap, I'm about to speak in front of like 7,000 people. Like, oh my gosh. My husband, he was like so sweet. He like looks at me and he's like, Catherine, he's like, God is good. You've already been saved. He looks at me and he's like, just go have fun. Like all is well. Like just go have fun. Have joy. So I'm so grateful for that. I was opening up and I was just like, how awesome is this that we are living in a country where we're safe enough to actually gather together, that we have the freedoms enough to pursue these like callings and dreams inside of us. And the fact that we actually just get to go talk about how to pursue those dreams. And so I was really grateful. So when I went on stage this time, having all those other things that might have been nervous before gone away. Plus, I think my husband's reminder that, like, this is only fun. Like, actually, the true story is this is only fun. It genuinely was just awesome. So I had a wonderful time. And I think it went great per response and clients we've gotten so far. I think it actually went really, really well. So glory to God. We're like so grateful.
That's amazing. You did a fantastic job. I will say that you were really awesome in the States, stunningly awesome, I would say. And this was my third FHL. So I have seen all your three performances. So
yes.
I must agree on that part. Awesome. So good. So people who are, let's take a step back. People who are living under the rock, maybe don't know about you and all. How did you got started? Like, when were you bitten by this entrepreneurial bug?
Yeah, well, such a good question. And I think that's maybe a good thing because your introduction was all about me doing funnel design. And yet I spoke at Funnel Hacking Live about joint ventures. And I've actually spoken at Funnel Hacking Live about both things. But interestingly enough, I never set out to be good at funnel design. And I also never set out to be good at joint ventures. It wasn't like, I've been bit by the entrepreneurship bug. I'm going to go rock funnel design. It wasn't that at all. It started, I went and I served a 2-year mission for my church. And when I was in Los Angeles and I served in really ritzy areas like Beverly Hills, Malibu, Bel Air, and then I served in a lot less well-off areas, Compton, Watts, things like that. And the millennial inside of me, perpetuating all of the stereotypes. I'm sorry about that to all my fellow millennials, but I was just like, I just have to save the world. You know, I was like, it's like, I don't know how to help, but I just saw so much poverty. And I was shocked as I was living in Compton and Watts. I, again, like so recognizably privileged. I didn't even know that people were living like that in the United States at all. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the living conditions and just the opportunities that were not available, just literally, I mean, I'm living in Utah right now, just a few states away from me. I was just like, oh my gosh. So again, I didn't know how to help. I didn't know what it was. I was only 22, 23 at the time, but I did realize that whatever the path was to hopefully have whatever this ambiguous term of impact is, right? Having money would help, period. It just is a matter of fact that to make change, whether you need help or resources or supplies, money would help. And so honestly, I didn't even really know about this world of entrepreneurship. And so in trying to earn money, I was going to college. I tried to switch my major to business. They said, no, I had too many credits already. So I said, okay, well, I guess I'll figure this out myself. I started reading like investment books, which led me to personal development books, which of course, you know, along the road leads you to some sort of entrepreneurship stuff. And I remember the day that I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, the internet's not a scam. Like this, you can actually make money on here. This is crazy. I'm like testing out all these things, affiliate marketing, all these different things. And then once I discovered like genuinely internet marketing and more specifically this ideology of funnels, right? All of a sudden I was like, holy crap, if I'm not an idiot about how I built my business, right? I think that there is not only potential for me to disproportionately make money compared to the time that I put in, right? I think that's what's so beautiful about the internet. You can build systems and it works for you. And so that was really alluring to me when it came to this impact piece. But it also was doubly alluring to the fact that I always knew that I wanted to be a mother one day. Like, I was really lucky. I grew up second oldest of 8 kids. Can you believe it? God bless it.
Wow.
I was pregnant for all of the 90s. She's such a warrior. But I love my big family. I seriously did. And my parents, they're amazing. They're so cool. Like genuinely, I have the coolest parents. And so I always wanted to have a family like mine. And I didn't know if that meant 8 kids, but I knew I wanted at least one, right? But I think simultaneously felt this call to have impact outside of my home. So again, when I discovered internet marketing, I was like, if I'm smart about how I build this, I think that I could have simultaneous impact outside of my home that I felt called to do based on my experiences in Compton, and then inside of my home per these desires to be a mother. And so started building. Long story short, my funnels weren't converting how I wanted them to. Discovered that design was the issue. Turns out it helps if your stuff is designed well. There's studies from Stanford, Google, all these different things that people determine the credibility of your website in 0.0 seconds, and over 90% of what they're judging is your design. So in a split second, they're deciding whether or not they're going to buy from you, let alone follow you or spend a few seconds. And so I sought out to fix the design because I was like, oh yeah, my stuff's ugly. I don't even need anyone else to tell me that. I can say whatever. And, but I was stubborn, right? Because I didn't want to learn design. I just wanted my stuff to work for the impact inside and impact outside. So everyone online was telling me, like, go learn Photoshop, go learn how to code, go back to graphic design school. And my stubborn self, Sahil, just said, no, I don't want to spend time doing it. So genuinely, like, born out of pride, I literally figured out how I could design these funnels in a way that required no coding, no Photoshop, no graphic design skills, so that they would not only look extraordinary, but, which was the most important aspect to me, they would convert extraordinarily as well. So again, I seriously was doing it for my own stuff. I started doing it for clients, and all of a sudden people started asking me. And so I'm just teaching friends. Like, I'm not even thinking in my head, like, should I sell this thing? All of a sudden somebody says to me, Catherine, you should sell this thing. And I thought, oh, wow, maybe I should do that. And so I packaged it up, created a program called CF Design School. Right. And then again, same concept, looking for traffic. I didn't understand. I just had zero experience when it came to paid ads, whatever it looked like. And so I was like, you know what, I'll figure this out. I tried doing paid ads. Awesome. I tried an agency, and honestly, I've since worked with amazing ones, but the first one, it wasn't it, you know? So I was so disenchanted by this idea of paid ads. I was like, they're terrible. Nobody knows how to do them. It's horrible. Organic, I just didn't have time anymore. And so again, thinking about this impact inside, impact outside, right? Moving from my own funnels and even an agency into a more scalable model of courses and education, I was like, I have to figure out a way to make more bang for my buck. And so with paid ads off the table and organic off the table, and content to me, again, felt a little really unpredictable. I didn't quite understand how it worked. How do you go viral? How do you convert those? In the beginning, I just didn't understand how that worked. And so I thought, well, if I could figure out the concepts of joint ventures, right? Getting somebody to let me pitch my product into their audience and do a profitable backend. If I could figure that out, I'm like, we're golden, right? Like, instead of making one or a few sales at a time, could I make tens or hundreds of sales at once? And so the only thing I contribute to is God, because somehow I started trying to do it and it worked right away. Like, I wasn't even ready for it to work.
Right.
I was like, it's not going to work. I like pitch my first joint venture. They say, sure. I'm like, ah, you know, I didn't know what to do when they said yes. I was like, oh my gosh, ah. So much so, you know, like, literally how terrible and naive, if you want to like track the journey of the last 4 years of how I'm now speaking on stage about this. I mean, the first one, it was literally a crap show. I had no idea what to do. I was so nervous. I never did anything like this. I'd never seen anyone do anything like this. And I was so afraid that it would fail that I literally gave my partner 90% of the profits.
Because
I was like, if it fails, I don't want him to hate me, you know? So stupid, but great learning, right? And so we do this awesome launch. I make this woman a buck crap of money, and I'm like, okay, never going to give away 90% again. But it was an awesome test. And because they went so well, I mean, I've done partnerships with this woman. I mean, I'm on year six, right? Like, every year. Very significantly renegotiated the profit split on the back end. I will say that. Anyway, so all of a sudden I was like, oh, I got something. So I start again using my methodology to pitch other people on joint ventures. And again, it just is working. And simultaneously, not only joint ventures, I'm booking podcasts and masterclasses and other stages and things like that. And so again, very similar situation to funnel design. I never wanted to learn joint ventures. I wasn't seeking to be good at that. Again, people started asking me, like, how are you booked on these stages? How are you doing this? And in new audiences, right? Like, I'm a nobody, like, still to this day, I have 7,000 followers on Instagram. People aren't understanding. And I'm like, there's a very specific way it's done. And so again, start teaching friends. All of a sudden they're like, you should charge for this. I said, great. So over the last 2 years, I literally had people, they paid high four figures to come to my house and learn this methodology. And again, taking it now from one-on-one to scaling and brokering deals for people. And it's just been really fun. I just think that God is God and people. I think that everything's been like so divinely put. I mean, not without struggle, mind you, but like, I think that the path has been very generous to me in helping me to see what that overall goal was, right? Like, learning more and more. How do you have impact outside? How do you have impact inside the home? But yeah, that, who knew? Here we are. So again, year one, do a funnel hacking live. I spoke about funnel design. Year three, due to the success of funnel design, I now spoke on adventure. So here we are, alive to tell the tale. Can you believe it?
What a crazy impact that you have already created. Like, look at that. And it reminded me of what Russell started with FHL. It's like, you're calling. You don't know in the beginning what you are supposed to do. And later your mess becomes the message. That's what happened. And then the impact is obviously there. So what was your designing? What was your first business model? Like, what was it? I'm interested to know. What was the first business model where you made money out of it?
Okay, well, listen, I'm like almost embarrassed to say it, but I'm going to tell you, I had quite a few that were like not so good.
Let's talk about that.
First one, right, I'm like, I don't have any. Okay, this was literally the first one. The very first thing I sold, it was for $127. I made like 4 or 5 sales. But again, it was like, I could sell something online, but I literally sold social skills. That was it. And again, I don't even know if I was qualified for that. You can tell me by the end of this interview if you think I was. I don't know. But literally, I was like, I don't know any skill I could sell. Yeah. But I was really enchanted about this mass distribution model. And so I was thinking, is there anything that I could sell to people at all? And I personally didn't think that I did, but I was determined to figure out how I could make this work. So I really vulnerably, I can't tell you how much like anxiety I had sending this message out, but I sent a message out to about 10 to 15 of my family and my friends and all my siblings, right? All 7 of them, right? Where I said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business. I'm trying to think about what product. I was like, I'm struggling to think about any skills that I could share, but could you help me? Like if anyone were to pay me for a skill, like I'm like, I'm literally fishing. I'm like, I need real answers. And so the common consensus were, it was like, you're really good with people. And I was like, okay, that's like somewhat of a soft skill, but maybe we can turn this into something. And so that's what I did. I like turned it into a course. And again, it was enough that I could do that. So it's like, okay. And so through that like launch of that course, right, it was awesome because you learn everything that you don't know. Through that one launch, I learned about funnels. I learned about email automation sequences, follow-ups. I learned about how to even just set up a website, how to process payments. What are the structures of a launch? What does follow-up look like? What does retargeting look like? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, okay, maybe not so bad. So then again, I've launched like a few other mini courses in the same similar like self-development realm. And then the other thing that I did is we had a friend that he got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so, and he was our age, he was like 25 years old.
Oh, man.
When he got diagnosed, it's brutal. And so, and he was an entrepreneur as well. So like he had no health insurance. I mean, he just was not in good. So his parents were helping him as much as he could, but all of a sudden me and my friends were like, we got to do something, right? Like he was one of our best friends. And so I was like, I don't know a lot, but I've done a few launches. Could I raise money via some like marketing campaign? And so we did. So that was like the next thing was we went around, we went to literally about 50 businesses, just local business. We just showed up there and we said, hey, our friend has stage 4 cancer. We're trying to raise money by doing it. We're doing giveaways. Like, could you offer us like a gift card or anything? And so people were just like, I mean, we ended up with like thousands of dollars of free coupons, gift cards, things like that. And then we were like, okay, we have all these things. Like, should we auction these off? What should we do? And it's a long story, but randomly we were like, it was around Christmas time. We're like, what if we just try to make somewhat viral videos of, we just go do like fun giveaways, like Ellen's Generous, right? Like you show up at somebody's house, a bunch of stuff, really deserving people, and then you use those to gain awareness and say, hey, like what we gave, why don't you give back to our friend David, right?
Which year was it?
This was 2016 maybe.
Wow.
2017. And anyway, so we were like, hey, we could drop this off, we could just do this, make these fun videos. And again, so random, we're like, to get any sort of traction, long story short, is we had a koala suit, like a full-fledged mascot koala suit that we're like, we're going to dress this koala up like Santa Claus, and we're going to like drop off dressed up like a koala doing it. It's so random, but like it got people to click on it. And so we ended up raising money for him. And that was the next step that I was like, okay, like again, impact, like I'm starting to learn skills that could actually help. And then from there, I think the last like really final piece where I figured things out was I launched a book. I launched a number one bestselling book, did a huge book launch, same thing. I started learning start to finish. What does this launch process look like, perpetual? And then from there, I just kept getting agency clients, and launching my own stuff. And again, having success, but not as much as I wanted. And again, like the design aspect started to come in during that like koala. If you want to know, like, why are we making as much money? And it was like, because you're so ugly, Catherine. That's cool. But yeah, so random. And so people always ask me like, how are you finding your ideas? How are you doing this? I'm sure people ask you that all the time.
Yeah.
And the thing I always suggest, if you have no idea what you want to do, but you know you want to do something, every skill compounds, right? So like just pick a skill. And there's like 8 core skills, right? That that will make everything better, whether it's you learn video editing, whether it's you learn copywriting, like you learn funnel design, whether you learn backend tech, whether you learn marketing automation, like whatever it is, right? Like, even if you learn it and you never use it again, it's going to help you to hire, and it's going to help you to think better. It's going to help you to think smarter. And that honestly was my thing. I just kept trying. And all of a sudden I found stuff that I loved. And so again, like landing upon this joint ventures and partnerships, interestingly enough, like if you were to ask me now, again, ask me in like 5 years, right? But like right now, I'm like this, like I feel like this is the thing I'm called to build, because because it's not just joint ventures. It's my husband and I, we call it this together game, right? Like how can you help people work together to build bigger so that you actually just, the prize that you win is togetherness in terms of time together with your children, time together with each other. But again, I wouldn't even know that I would have been passionate about that or thought about that had I not been through the awkward, cringy, coincidentally, right, paradoxically, social skills course, and the book, and the koala, and the agency, right? And it was just step by step. So
it all happens in the flow, right? You gotta just take the first step. I remember same thing. I was like, when I started 3 years ago, joined OFA and One Funnel Away Challenge, and I'm like asking the coaches, they are like, what is your skill? Like, I don't know. They said, what do you do in free time? I drive Uber in the free time. I had a student loan to pay off. I'm like, that's not a skill. I'm like, I was feeling like, am I a failure at 28? Don't have any skill.
Yes.
And then it was like funnel. At that time, I came to know about you, about other courses, and all. I'm like, okay, this is a thing. Funnel is a thing. So that.
And here's okay. And can I just say, this is why you're so awesome, because a lot of people hear that and they're like, it's over. It's done for me.
Right.
But in reality, there are ways that you can shortcut. So like learning these skills actually don't have to take a lot of time. It takes a lot of focused energy, but not a lot of time. And I mean, here you are 3 years later, you push 7 figures. Like, that's insane. Most people take a lifetime to make 7 figures, right? Like, and here you are 3 years later, starting from zero skill set even, which it's amazing. It's amazing. So anyway, that's what I think is so cool. And I think just such a benefit. I mean, we're living the coolest time ever where our access to knowledge is, I mean, you can learn almost anything you want to, even for free.
Right.
The only variability between people that are winning and people are not, in my opinion, is implementation.
Right.
Like, are you
right on?
You know? So,
right on.
Yeah, so honestly, major kudos to you. You're awesome.
You are awesome. Thank you so much for that. I want you to throw some lights on JVs and all. I know I really love your presentation. I actually even bought notes after that from Tim. I like to review, and I was reviewing it. I did a FHL hangover session with my peeps, and I'm like reviewing it, doing it. I'm like, wow, it's when you do something twice, it's making so much sense. So I really love that personal part of your presentation. I want to ask this question. Like, people talk about, we know about the good side, sexy sides of JVs, you can say. What do you think is the unsexy part?
Oh my gosh, what a fun. This is an awesome question. Well, here's what I think. So there has been a very interestingly accepted narrative when it comes to joint ventures and partnerships, in my opinion, for about the last 2 decades of internet marketing, if not longer. And the narrative goes like this, where it is, hey, make friends with people, step one. And then step two, they're going to promote all your stuff. And so you see the back end of like, they're promoting all this stuff. It's so sexy. Wow, like Catherine on the stage, right? Or they just did a $1 million launch or all these different things. Or she's been on 100 podcasts in the last 3 months. Like, it's all very sexy. But the unsexy part is that first step, right? Where it's like, quote unquote, make friends with people. And I was like, when I started, I was like, I don't know what that means. What do you mean make friends with people so that, right? Like, I can make friends with people, but it felt inauthentic and a little bit slimy, right? So it was to make friends so that they will promote your stuff in the future. And I think this is where the really unsexy part comes. And there's two options to play the joint venture game when it comes to unsexy. The unsexy part, route one, which is what I think most people have done for the last 2 decades, is they just decide, well, you want to know what? That's the way to do it. So I am going to be slimy. Like, I'm going to be slimy. I'm going to be schmoozy. I'm going to make friends only to come in with the big ask later, right? Or they'll send people gifts. I remember I had somebody once send me like a $500 stereo system, which was really nice. But I don't know who they are and I don't know why they needed it. And the next thing I know, they like reach out to me 2 weeks later and they're like, hey, can I promote my thing on your thing? And all of a sudden the relationship, when initially was like, oh wow, how thoughtful, immediately turned to transactional. And I felt used, right? But people will continue in that unsexy path. I don't think because they're bad people or slimy people, but they just don't know the better way. So I think that's one way that people are being slimy or being unsexy, if you will, in the game of joint ventures. But I just refuse to do it that way because I don't even know. I didn't know how to do. I don't even know. How does that even look like? And I didn't even have time. Like if I wanted to even play the unsexy game. So that is one unsexy way that you can play. And a lot of people do play. And if you look at other people that are talking about partnerships in the space right now, they will tell you something along that path. Now, they might not necessarily be so explicit to say, hey, you're eventually going to come in with the ask, right? But when you look at it, that's what they're telling you to do. Develop a relationship with people so that later they'll do that. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to play this other quote unquote unsexy way, which was rather than schwamboozle people or inauthentically lead with friendship only to actually want a business venture at the end, why don't I just actually propose the actual business venture that I want? There's no secrets. There's no hiding. I'm not going to switch and bait you. I'm saying, hey, I really want to enter into a partnership. This is what it looks like. And so there's a lot of things very sexy about that in the sense that nobody's being fooled. Nobody's being all these different things. But the only unsexy part about being very upfront about what you want to do with someone is that your stuff actually has to be good. Right? Like if your stuff doesn't work, if you actually can't fulfill, if the means by which you help people get results is not easy, if you don't make the process simpler for them, and if you don't have proof to back that you're the expert that you say you are, you actually just aren't able to play the joint venture game. Right. And so that way people go the slimy route because they're like, well, maybe if I break this person down for months or years, they'll feel bad enough for me that even though my product is not up to caliber, they will feel, again, transactional. They'll feel indebted enough to me that they'll say yes. And so the unsexy part is, and you know this, right? Like you can't go from where you started to 7 figures being a scam. Like you just can't, right? And I think that there's so many people that want to cut corners or there's like this, I don't know if you follow Alex Hormozi, but Hormozi is awesome. So he just released his leads. He just released his offer book. And the thing that is so awesome about Alex Hormozi, the thing that is awesome about him is that if you want to use his methods, you are immediately disqualified if your product sucks. Here's one example, right? Like in his offers book, one of the things that he suggests is to make your offer irresistible, you need to actually add in a guarantee. And one of the most amazing guarantees is, listen, if I don't first make you money, then you don't pay me. And immediately that disqualifies a majority of your competition because they themselves aren't sure if they can make you money or they themselves aren't sure if they can do the guarantee. And so in this very unsexy way, even of joint venture partnerships, the way that I recommend and what I talked about at Funnel Hacking Live, there's this 5-step story or it's 5-step system, right? This 5-step methodology. That honestly, literally anyone can do if, and this is the qualifier of the unsexy work, if your product actually delivers a result and if you do it in a way that makes it easier than everyone else, right? So a great example of this is Stacey and Palmartino, right? Where they're like, hey, we'll help you save your marriage, but you don't have to go to marriage counseling. That's awesome. And at that point, if you can actually get people results and you do it in a way that I call a breaking news method, right? Save your marriage without going to therapy. In my opinion, you're worthy of the stage. You're worthy of the partnership. Like get that. Whoever can do something so cool and can do it without all the hard stuff. Yes, you win. And so it's really fun. I think for us now, because this methodology that does work requires, you can't just buy your way into it. You have to actually be good, right? You have to deliver a result and you have to do it in a way that's different from everyone else. It's been so much more fun for my husband and I, because we work together and you only get to work with cool people. Like literally you just are disqualified if you can't. Like the application itself shows, they'll ask like, okay, what have you done here? What are your case studies? How are you different? Like they can't even fill out the application if they're not ready yet. And so it is interesting to say that it's actually been shocking for me because I didn't know that there was another way. I thought that was the rules. Like if you're going to sell somebody something, you should be able to deliver on what you say you can do and you should make it better for them.
Right.
And I thought that that was just like base layer, like ceiling, like, or floor, excuse me. If you're going to play the game of business, you better be able to say what you do. And I think you know this as well, right? There are a lot of people that are crazy good marketers and totally drop the ball on fulfillment. And so though the work seems unsexy, I think that's one way to put it. In my opinion, it is actually required. If you are going to play the game at all, at all. You have no business taking anybody's money if you cannot actually fulfill on the service or product that you say that you can. So some people might call that unsexy. To me, I call that actually just prerequisites. And so if the unsexy part is, hey, you taking a few more months to figure out, okay, no, I'm really certain that I have my process and systems down. So when people come in, I can actually deliver. That's unsexy. Great. But the reality is that however extra long time or systems or whatever that looks like to perfect that process, oh my gosh, it's so much easier to win once you have that. Because if you actually have the results, not only is it so much easier to sell when it comes to copy, marketing, right? Like talk about Hermosi, how do you structure the offer? How do you say it? But it's so much easier just word of mouth, right? And so for my husband and I, right, like we bring on clients where we say, hey, we'll book you deals, but you don't pay us until you actually book a joint venture. So you literally only pay us with money that we generate you. Right. And it's the easiest yes in the world. And then it's awesome because we're taking the percentage of sales of people that have amazing products that are doing really cool ways. So rather than us putting like, oh, it's a $10,000, $20,000, or even $100,000 price tag, we actually can even charge way more than that because we actually generate our own payday, right? Like we're going to take of all the money that we make from you. So there's no extra money that's coming out of your pocket. So again, that was a long answer to say that that is the unsexy work, but truly the unsexy work is actually just doing your due diligence to be an authentic, integrity-driven business owner that, again, in my opinion, you shouldn't take money in the first place if you don't know you can actually fulfill. So all in all, don't be sorry. Just do the work and actually get good at what you do. And if you don't know, that's okay. Test it.
Take your time.
Koala suit, right? Like test it, try it. But you can get there. It's just do your reps and then start to play the game.
Yeah, that's a true no-brainer offer. That's what Alex Hermosi talks about. And I really love that thing, the concept. Exactly. I love that. I have a follow-up question on that. So when you are reaching out to these people or building connection, first of all, you turned my thinking around, okay, wow, that's a good way to do that, because if your product is good enough, people will feel proud to promote it and they will associate with you. So while reaching out to those people, what's the best method you suggest? Like, is it meeting them in networking events, sending them email, IG text, or virtual? What exactly would you say?
Okay, that's such a great question. And the answer is yes to all of them. They're just fine. But the common thread between all of them, whether you're saying hello to someone in person, sending an email, making a funnel, making a video, whatever, is what you want to do, the genuinely. There are a few nuances here and there, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to this. If you can show where you fit in a customer storyline versus where they fit. So say, for example, like, hey, I handle traffic, you handle funnels, or I handle mindset, you handle finances, whatever it is, right? But if you can show, hey, we are very complementary products, we're not competitors. I'm not trying to steal your clients. In fact, I'm actually trying to help you get more money out of your current audience because I offer something very different than you. And if you could say, hey, I'm here and you're here. For example, I use the funnel hacking live, but this is a really easy way to understand this, right? If McDonald's went to Burger King and said, hey, Burger King, will you please sell our Big Mac? Burger King would say, no, you're crazy. We have the same product basically, right? You have a Big Mac, we have a Whopper. At that point, you're competitors. People, this seems common sense, but people are doing that all the time. I can't tell you how many people are like, hey, I sell a funnel design product. You should let me sell to your audience. And I'm like, no, you're my direct competitor. I'm not going to do that, right? You're crazy. Okay, that's a bad idea. So if you're the same product, you're dead. So if you're talking to somebody in person and I meet somebody that is a funnel design product, I can't wait to meet them, but I'm never going to partner with them. It's just, right? Because per how I think my product is, I think my product already I know is better than theirs. Right. So I'm going to sell their client. So it actually is rude of me trying to do that. Whereas if I meet somebody in person that say does traffic, I know that anybody that does traffic, organic, paid, SEO, anything, right? Yes. Anybody that drives traffic needs someone to send the traffic to, and that's funnels. And I have a product safety design school. So if I meet someone in traffic, I say, wow, I actually think we could collaborate amazingly together. You handle this. The next step is they need a funnel. And then whether it's a joint venture, I'd love to have you on my show. Could I speak on your stage? Again, there's nuances for how to do that. But that is the core thing. And so if you can start to see, hey, whether I reach out and DM, hey, you do this, I do this, I think we could collaborate together. You can start to see how this can work back and forth. And so again, going along with McDonald's example, right? If you think of what a great complementary partnership is, McDonald's is step one with salty food. What do you need after salty food? You need something to quench the saltiness, right? And so here comes Coca-Cola as a beverage, an amazing partnership. They're not competitors. They're complementary. Salty food comes first, something to quench the saltiness of of it all comes next. So that is my suggestion. So whether you reach out via email, the more personable, the better, right? Okay. And again, the more show-stoppy, the better. If you can get their attention, the better. But that is what it comes down to. You're here in storyline. I come next, or I come first and you come next. We're not partner, or we're not competitive. We are in fact complementary. And therefore, I actually am an asset and not a liability to you and what you've built. So that is the main thing. So however you do it, do that. And you'll start winning. You'll start winning the game.
That's so beautifully explained. I appreciate that for going in the detail. I know you have other commitments as well. I will just wrap this up with a final interview. Final question, I mean. Where can listeners find more about you? What is the first step they can take if they want to associate or join you?
Awesome. If you want to come follow us, Instagram at togethergame_ or togethergame.com.
Ah, sweet. Thank you so much, Catherine, for coming on, sharing these golden pieces of advice and for your time as well. It was great connecting with you. Absolutely. People who are watching or listening to this will be coming up with another episode very soon. Till then, stay tuned. Take care. Bye, everyone. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, and I will see you in the next episode.